This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Centre in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Good morning, CKLN listeners. Special thanks to Nunu for spelling you for another 20 minutes of show during my show. Apologize for being late once again. It is the 29th day of June 2010. I was just talking with my colleague here about what was happening, how folks outside the city felt about what was happening downtown. And it's a tragic situation how Toronto was turned into a war zone. But here on the 29th of June 2010, we are in full recovery mode. Although, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? Now, personally, you know, I've been late for my show yesterday and the day before and taking cabs to get here. I don't know if I want to walk right now based on some of the warnings I've received and based on a little brown car sitting outside my house last night. For a couple hours. I have no idea why. But these are the things you go through. And my colleague Dan Dix from PressForTruth.ca was on the Alex Jones show on Monday. And I'm going to play a clip from that. I wanted to play the full clip actually today, which is about 20 minutes, but maybe I'll play a little truncated version. But at PressForTruth.ca, he's talking about how, and he never talks like this. My colleague Dan never talks like this, and he's talked to me like I'm crazy, even though I'm the only person in the city that's calling out spooks and kind of, you know, identifying the shadow government game that takes place, you know, in our culture on a regular basis. He's not about this. He's like, well, you know, he'd sometimes say to me, and Dan's a smart guy, a good guy. He's just, you know, being conservative and nice in his estimation of the world, whereas I'm, it's all crazy. Get in there. You know, we got to save the cops. And people look at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you don't understand, dude. They little call on a little thing in their earpiece, and it says, we have some violence over at so-and-so. Go bike down there or whatever. And as I was just speaking with my colleague Nunu about, and they just, they're not even sure what's going on here in the Orwellian V for Vendetta 1984 universe that we had in Toronto for the last week or two, where the cops were paid handsomely to be constantly in danger, put in danger by other cops, other law enforcement, as tons of evidence has come out that suggests, and even the mainstream media is pissed, and so they're talking about this, that there may have been provocateurs at the event. So what you'll have is you'll have, you know, you'll have police officers flying around, paranoid as hell, not sure who's doing what. Clearly, even with $1 billion in security and a massive presence here, unable to do the good old-fashioned police work that it would take to stop the violence. You know, if we have 10,000 cops, that sucks, but fine. If we have to pay $1 billion, that sucks, but fine. But if we pay, if we pay $1 billion for 10,000 cops and half the city still gets torched, what the hell's that? So, you know, this whole thing doesn't make any sense. So back to Dan. Dan never talks about being, you know, attacked by spooks. But here on the streets today, he said tons of cops knew him from the Press for Truth videos. Some were friendly, some were not, as he was filming, you know, more. Charlie Veach from the Love Police, detained by the police and caged and tortured, as he says it, might have been browbeaten a little bit. And technologically speaking, they were attacked. And I've been kind of offline these days. Like, I've been working in my notebook because I've got some ideas. Nothing illegal, nothing violent, just smart. And I don't want the Pentagon to be reverse key mapping, you know, even if I'm in a WordPad document on my computer. And so I kind of free think. And then, you know, I can kind of not be at the protest on Saturday, work on the track, Renegade G2010 on Saturday afternoon instead. But then around 5 p.m., you know, when I can kind of feel the streets are kind of like, you know, probably going to be more paranoid than they should be, I can kind of sneak out and sneak around and pull the hair back in and not let anybody kind of know, you know, where I'm at. I'm not doing this for violent reasons. But I don't have a cell phone right now either, so it's kind of, that's why they track me with a, that's why they send cops, city workers, and helicopters after me up Yonge Street. You think they need helicopters to follow me as I walk up Yonge Street, dipping, you know, east and west of Yonge Street, postering, you know, on these cops and city workers and so on. This is on Thursday, you know, afternoon, because they want to track us here in the cashless society, not the cops per se, but the New World Order, the people at the top, their bosses, want to track us. They want to know everything we do. And they want us to be predictable. That's why they want us to be in little patterns. And once they identify your pattern off Facebook and your cell phone and who you hang with and so on, once they identify that, the plan is to make sure that if you break that pattern, like if you always go and have coffee with Johnny on you know, Tuesday evenings, and you don't, you're going to get a visit saying, what's the problem? Why didn't you go have coffee with your buddy Johnny? You know, what's the deal? Are you feeling okay? Because your own deviation from your own list of preferences from an approved list will be on the list to be crapped on. So anyway, in this techno grid, Dan Dix and Brian and Charlie Veach, Dan was talking about how his videos wouldn't upload. They'd upload out of sync. There was huge things missing. He had a team of 15 camera people, press fortruth.ca, very respected independent journalism company here in Toronto. I've done work for them myself, interviewed MI6 officer Annie Michon about all these things, among many other work. They also have a new film called United We Fall about the North American Union, the merger of Canada, America, and Mexico. We're pretty much done behind the scenes, and now's when they roll it out. So who the hell knows who's up here? There's 10,000 police, military, intelligence, and private contractors. Those are the guys in New Orleans that were like, you know, stop, bang, bang. And it's like, was that guy a looter? Oh. You know, like they just, those guys were here, you know, and those guys were cruising around in unmarked vans. And last year, in Pittsburgh, they were grabbing people off the street. And I know where this goes. If they can stop you and ID you, that's just to get the cops used to stopping you and IDing you. And then once they're comfortable with that, and you know, once, you know, you're comfortable with that, the next step is feeding them some more BS intelligence to say, yeah, we've got the suspect, Nunu so-and-so. We're not too sure about him. Looks like a big, good-looking, tough brown dude. You know, tell you what, just bring him in and don't worry about it. We'll crack him. You know, so there's no personal responsibility. Like, when I'm dealing with cops who ID me, they step to me, they look at me, they try to eye me up. Sometimes they ask me a couple of questions, try and break me a bit to see if I'll spit out any crap. Or the guys out here outside Ryerson's like, hey, maybe you can tell us we can find those protesters, because then now we want to shut this thing down too. And I'm like, I don't know nothing. And he goes, ah, come on, you're not going to rat anybody out. I'm like, I don't know nothing. But I told him, I don't know nothing because these people don't like me because I'm against this whole stupid protest. Like, you know, it's when I talk to other people about it, they all hate it. Everybody hates it. And so if you want to affect political change in this country, if you want to do something that inspires your fellow Canadian to call their politician and say, yo, we need better policy. You need to do something about GMO foods. And I don't care, you know, what it is. I know you're a politician. So you think of it and you get back to me on this and so on and so forth. They want, you know, if you want people to do that, you don't take to the streets and do all this crap. And if you're a political activist, even an anarchist, you have to know that, you know, just breaking stuff isn't in 1776 during the American Revolution. If somebody said, well, the British tyranny, you have to quarter a soldier, they're taxing the crap out of you. You quarter a soldier means they get to live in your house. You get a roommate who's a soldier, as in your living quarters. In 1776, somebody showed up and said, hey, yo, let's all get together, all the well-informed people, and let's yell at a bunch of cops and go home. And that's how we're going to get our freedom. They would have been laughed out the flipping room. You know, and if, hey, let's break everything in town and piss everybody off, then they'll support the revolution. Then they would have been thrown out of the meeting. And so you know, we can see what kind of a setup this is. And, yeah, so Dan's talking about his camera getting cut off, his phone getting cut off, and so on and so forth. And so we're being targeted on a regular basis by all these things. And it helps. Or it would help anyway. I think it would help. It would help for all of us to hear a little bit about his experiences. So I'm going to flash to this this clip of Mr. Daniel Dix and Mr. Charlie Veach on the Alex Jones radio show. Because this is important, folks. This is a historic moment in Toronto's history. And you know, I felt, you know, fairly safe. Yesterday was crazy. Yesterday was crazy, though. I'm going to ask you folks out there to meditate on a couple of things. But and again, apologies for being late here. But here's one of the reasons why I'm late. Although I'm you know, pretty foolish myself, you know, for no excuses. Just playtime for big boys in this city is over. Now, you can play if you want to. What am I going to do to stop you? Well, I sure as hell am going to try, because I got to tell you, in these conditions where the government can send 10,000 police, military, intelligence, and mercenaries to attack us, just saying, yay, it's over, we can get back to normal, is wrong. Because first of all, this was our normal. Like this, Harper says, this is the price you pay for having an international summit. And so this is the normal we live in. The normal we live in is one where the government can send thousands of police, military, intelligence, and private contractors to lock down the city. And so in a situation like that, there are certain people that are more capable of handling it and certain people that are not. But outside of a situation like that, there are lots of people that are capable of handling this. You know, if you're unable to put up posters with glue sticks, then we're dead. If you're unable to pass on emails, you know, with little information, we're dead. If you're unable to share flyers, if you're unable to talk about this or what happened, we're dead. Because this will get worse. This will happen again. This is the point of this. The point of this is, you know, the point of this is to beat us down. But I'm going to break through a ton of more of this stuff in a minute on the show. For now, my colleague Dan Dix and his colleague Charlie Veach from the Love Police in the UK were on the Alex Jones radio show yesterday for an hour or so. So I'm going to let them speak to you for a few minutes to break down their thoughts on the G20, as well as Mr. Alex Jones from the 28th of June yesterday. Recovering. We're in the aftermath, folks. We're in the aftermath. But I'm walking around. I'm on the streets yesterday, and I'm getting mad. I'm getting mad at the mall, at the Eaton Center. I'm getting mad at all the sheep happily shopping. And I'm getting mad on behalf of all the girls and the women and the old folk and the kids, because they cannot do as much, and I don't give a damn, as guys can under these conditions. You know, guys are physically gifted with more to handle this. You know, if 8 cops roll up on me and they beat me down, I'm physically more capable of surviving that at 5'10", a buck 65, than a girl is at, you know, 5'1", you know, 105. So do keep that in mind. And my entire universe, our whole structure, the way we perceive ourselves in a crisis-filled world is in part based on our physical abilities and our mental attitude. And as far as I'm concerned out there, there are guys in the city that have the physical ability to take action against government and corporate corruption that threatens all our lives, and they can do it now. They can do it before. I was doing this crap during martial law last week. You know, and I obviously got, you know, stopped a bunch of times and then followed. But that's not neither here nor there. The point is that it's not that anymore. So what are you doing for your hood? Anyway, Dan Dix and Charlie Veach on the Alex Jones Show.
Canada for the G20, and of course Dan Dix has pressed for truth and has put out countless investigative reports on YouTube that we routinely link to up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Why is the G20 important? Well, the 20 finance heads of the industrialized world, who all just so happen to be former Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan Chase or Bank of England operatives, they always then come in. $1.2 billion is being spent in Canada. It's a total police state. They release police dogs on women in the U.S. in Pittsburgh, martial law for 3 days, no one allowed outside, randomly sound cannons attacking people, college students couldn't even. One of my reporters got arrested for no reason. We have video of it, and politely videotaping from a grassy hill, and they come and arrest him. And he watched Luke Radowski tortured in the military armory where they had him. I mean, this is real, folks. And so the banker criminals come to your town, and they practice federalizing, and all the local police then become spies, spying on people at cafes, listening to your political speech. It's all over the news that they pass secret laws to just randomly arrest people and detain them in facilities with cameras over the toilets. And so to tell us what's happened in the last 3-4 days total as the global parasites come to town are these two gentlemen joining us via video Skype. So whoever wants to go first, break down what's happening. We saw burning cars. A lot of intel says that was a staged event, and the police made no effort to stop it, but they will beat up any peaceful protester with pleasure or drag you off to their facility. And it looks like we've caught the Canadian police staging events before, and the Greek and the British and the Italian and the U.S. And so but that always comes out a few months later in court hearings. What does this look like, gentlemen? The computer's
on and the well, Alex, just yesterday, right after we got off your show, I got a call from one of our camera guys who called me and said, Dan, we're here at Queen and Spadina. We've been surrounded by riot police. And they were arresting and detaining everybody and everyone who was encircled in that intersection. 240 people were arrested, rounded up, detained, and taken down town to what is now known as Trontanamo Bay. And, it's just unbelievable. Charlie and I tried to get there as soon as we could. to try to cover it. But we were blocked at every single turn that we tried to get to. The police said, you cannot get up there. The street is now closed. And, 240 people were just rounded up and detained for peacefully just sitting there, very peacefully protesting. And, of course, it was all justified because of the actions that they said took place the previous day with burning police cars, which is extremely, extremely suspicious. When you consider that these things were allowed to burn for the media photo op, these cars were set on fire by the supposed Black Bloc anarchists. And I had been sent a photo from a good friend of mine at NAUResistance.org, which shows that some of these Black Bloc guys had the same clubs that the police were using at the front of the riot line.
Well, I've seen the video and photos. They look like cops. And I said that 2.5 years ago in Montebello. And headline, Royal Mounted Police admit that that was their officers. I forget the exact headline, but it's Royal Mounted Police admit their officers attacked other officers for the media. And we caught them in Denver. I said, looked like provocateurs. Denver Post headline, police posed as anarchist, attacked other police. So they do this everywhere. And if they're not cops, we've proven they're foundation funded. They're flown in.
Yeah, that's exactly what we heard from many people here on the ground. I think it's beyond any reasonable suspicion now that these people are agent provocateurs, either allowed to do this by the police or actually police
officers. Well, stay there. I want you guys to walk through what happened with this specifically and then get into other issues on the other side of this quick break. But this has happened over and over and over again, and it's meant to set a precedent to shut down our free speech. The same thing is done worldwide, ladies and gentlemen, and they are bringing these people in. I've had the anarchists tell me in Austin that they do work for the feds. That doesn't mean all anarchists.
I'm gonna chase the sky forever.
This is all about global standardization. Doesn't matter if the G20's meeting in London or Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania or Toronto, Canada. They come in, laws are passed just so private security can arrest citizens. Laws are passed so citizens have no due process and can be arrested. People are grabbed, they're secret police on trains, spying on everyone. People are just taken away for no reason. That's the headline, secret law passed allows unlimited arrest. And then, magically, the anarchists show up, the police stand back, as is in these new videos, let them set police cars in fire that are parked there, and then let the media see it, and then they pull back and are left alone. In the case of Seattle and other cities, you then catch them in government buildings or in other buildings protected by police. And I don't know how cops go along with this. Well, we've had cops speak up in Canada and the U.S. about it and in Denver, Colorado. That's why we know about it. But going back to Charlie Veach and Dan Dix, guys, going back to this provocateur action, I think that's most important. Tell us the intel you're getting.
Well, a very interesting thing that that happened. Charlie and I were in the middle of this particular protest where everybody got surrounded. And they had blocked the street on Queen Street leading up to Spadina, the area where one of the police cars was on fire. And Charlie got on the bullhorn and said, you know, if this line is blocked, let's go north, everybody. So everybody started to go this way. And then all of a sudden, the police opened up the line and allowed everyone to go through, almost like as if they wanted us to be in that particular area where that police car was on fire. Because once we got the crowd to go in another direction, they opened up the line and said, well, let them through. So they let the hundreds and hundreds of protesters through where we were once blocked and moved us into the area where the police car was on fire. And that's where they blocked everyone in and detained us. Charlie and I, lucky enough, got out just at the right time because we came back to my place to do the show. So we just missed that by a few minutes.
So that was part of the photo op. Down the road, the Fed boys, no doubt, torched the police cars. Then they were like, come on, guys, we need you. We need the regular protesters. There's a jail cell waiting for you. You guys, Charlie just got out of jail the day before, or that morning. You guys duck out to come be interviewed by me last night, and then right on time because they could then arrest their bad guys.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. Again, we were under massive surveillance. Dan and I were getting pointed out by police officers. They had their $7,000 semi-professional cameras. And it's just for the grace of your show that we decided to duck out of this particular march. And Alex, how do you feel about the predictive programming effects of almost 300 protesters being rounded up in an urban area onto buses and taken away to a detention camp?
Well, I mean, they admit, I've seen it in Austin, I've seen it in New York City for the RNC 2004. It's done for any of these high-security events the exact same way. They bring in their thugs, they let them attack, burn a few trash cans, it always turns out they're feds, they leave, they're protected, and then an hour later, a day later, they then attack peaceful crowds saying that you were the ones that did it. And I've walked up to these anarchists before and said, you know, I know you're a fed, they're like, you're right, we're going to get you too. And usually they're communist. You know, under their outfit, they'll have a big red star on, and they're flown in by foundations, paid for by, you know, big wealthy foundations. But other times, they're actual cops. And I just hope people realize that the government's doing this as a form of false flag to demonize any type of demonstration.
Yeah, I'd just like to take this opportunity to say to the people listening, and especially people in Toronto, if you were one of the 240 people who were arrested and detained and taken to the camp, please get in touch with me at dan@pressfortruth.ca. We would like to interview you about what happened and so that we can get your story out to the world, because it's extremely important what took place here yesterday.
Oh.
And we're back, folks. Again, that was Mr. Dan Dix, pressfortruth.ca. Colleague of mine in the InfoWar, and yeah, we're in the game, folks. We're in the game, and it's funny. Years ago, you know, people would say, you know, things like, "Well, it's one of my favorite jokes in this whole, you know, being a conspirited individual is people saying you're crazy. That's not true. You're crazy. That's not true. You're crazy. None of that's true. But you keep talking that ish, they're gonna kill you, man." It's like, well, wait a minute. Which one is it? Is it all crazy, not true stuff, like, I'm on some crazy, I'm into looking at crazy, paranoid, blah, 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 or you keep talking that issue, gonna kill you, man? Like, if it's not true, then that can't be possible. And if it is true, then do something. And so you heard Dan Dix and Charlie Veach talk about some of the carnage of Queen and Spin. I'm gonna play some more of that tomorrow. Apologies to Mr. Dix, Mr. Veach, Mr. Jones for not having the time for their extended analysis this morning. But I'm just, I'm looking at what my plans are right now, because I'm not letting this fade. I'm not letting this fade from memory, mine or anyone else's, as far as I can help it. And it seems mean. Oh, come on, just forget about it. That was so not nice. Don't bring it up, you know, and all that keep it happy crap. Well, if we don't bring it up, it's coming up again. You know, I'm just flashing to Infowars.com right now. You know, Congress basically declared martial law war on Iran is imminent. And so they're going to, well, put it this way. The global awakening against their global tyranny is so big that even emasculated guys who, you know, don't, and I can't get on pressfortruth.ca now either. Unbelievable. Dan was saying his website was being attacked. His website went down. His cell phone kept getting cut down because, you know, they would have the most active team at this thing. And now as I try and get on pressfortruth.ca, I am unable to. Very, very strange. Let's try the cache. And bingo. All right. So you go to pressfortruth.ca. You can catch more and the latest on what's going on here. Amazing stuff. But yeah, they had a great team there. Toronto, a dystopian version of the future. Dan Dix and Charlie Veach on Russia Today off Skype. So again, more stuff from there. Dan Dix and Charlie Veach's final report from the G20 Summit in Toronto. Part 1 of 3 is up. So go check there for more. I've known Dan for years now, probably 3, 4, 5 years. And I know he's a good guy. I know he's a nice guy. And so he's worth trusting on these issues. Hypocrite Toronto police demand resignation of Labour president over agent provocateur comments. On June 17th, the Star reported the Toronto Police Union is calling for the Ontario Federation of Labour president Sid Ryan to resign after he expressed concerns over the possibility of the police using agent provocateurs. That's false flag terrorists, folks. It's the same as 9/11. Like, you know, when we say the government staged 9/11 9 years ago and that you can't just ignore it, it's because of crap like this. It's because if you don't know the government stages false flag attacks, be they on property or on people, then they'll do it again. And they'll lock down the city for it. You know, and they're, you know, they're, and I, you know, personally, I've interacted with 1,000 cops in the last couple of weeks. And so I kind of get, you'll just have to take my word for it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not ratting. I'm a gray man. I'm not black. I'm not white. You know, I'm a gray man. I'm not snitching. And so I'm not selling us out. But I'm not snitching on them and selling them out like they're making these decisions to answer the call on their earpiece to bike up to Queen and Spadina for God knows what the hell is going to happen. And so it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag out there. And certainly people at the top don't necessarily want to, you know, have a healthy, you know, a police force. And so we have to do something because, you know, nobody's risking their job in this economy. Nobody. You know, I've been saying since you know, pretty much June, July of 06 when I started this show with Mark Bills, if the fake, as in we don't know 9/11 is an inside job, we don't talk about it enough. If the fake war on terror rapture says, you know, my job to keep my $300,000 house, pay my mortgage, and support my wife and two kids, if the war on terror says my job is to beat your ass, then I might beat your ass to keep my job. It is what it is, man. It's a cold world. So, you know, what can people outside of the police do about this? Well, I mean, you know, definitely spread the word. Go to pressfortruth.ca. Go to Infowars.com to see the latest articles on this. Paul Joseph Watson's written another one on provocateurs, taking us all the way back to Seattle, Montebello, Quebec, you know, Germany. This has been done for years where the government will send in agents to say, how do we get all these people to not... And this is back when we made sense. Back when there were people giving speeches, not just chanting slogans. Back when there were people doing, you know, like you know, saying things that were, you know, more complex and interesting. So anyway, you know, there it is. But Montreal protesters organized accused G20 of profiling. TSX moves lower amid G20 pledge to cut deficits. Peaceful protest marches from police headquarters to Queen's Park. And this happened yesterday, and my roommate Darcy got home, and he said that there was another protest last night against the police brutality that was engineered. And so, you know, that went well. That went people. About 2,000 people here, according to the National Post. And there's signs saying, Bill Blair must resign now, close Torontonimo, and as well as F the police. But again, people aren't thinking about this. You know, in this world here, you know, of people kind of doing what they want to and everybody doing their own thing and playing like little children, no one's thinking tactically, you know. And if you're an adult out there, and I'm making this point very clear today, both here on this show and elsewhere, if you're a grown-up out there, like a grown-up, like one of the business owners that got their ish smashed on Queen Street or Yonge Street or Ossington Street that I saw, or any street in this damn city. If you're a grown-up out there and you let a bunch of confused, you know, 19-year-olds fight for your political future, fight to make sure you got a pension, you're screwed. You're screwed. Do you understand that? And I'm the bad guy for saying this? You're screwed. Because these kids are set up. Yeah, they're set up to wear F the police or F the G20 shirts and walk by a bunch of old people who go, what a rude child. I never want to get politically involved in my future. Thank goodness. The system must work because those are the yabos against it. And so they're being set up. The protesters are being, the protest is a setup. Like by just doing this once in a while, and you hear people talking about it and go, oh, it was tense. It was intense. And I'd say the same thing because it's logical. It was intense. But just going there to play a little game of cat and mouse with the cops to survive this crap is not going to get anything done about all the genetically modified food we're eating that's sterilizing us and causing us cancer. It's not going to get anything done about the changes in the laws and the new instructions. I know when I was ID'd 12 times in the last couple of weeks for just posting my little Yoohoo glue stick, I got the vibe pretty quick. They were like, listen, I mean, they didn't say this, but the vibe was, listen, buddy, I got a job to do. If you make that job difficult, I'm going to make your life difficult. But once you make my job easy to do, we're cool. Whatever. Like, I'm not even going to stop you. You can do this for 3 days. You know, just you will be stopped. We will make sure we're cool. Because if I don't stop you, I'm fired. So what are the police going to be asked to do next? Or if they don't stop somebody, they fired. And this is not to excuse. Again, it's not to. I'm just not playing the game where we, we lose at this. You know, where we just, the police are so, and saying all that crap. And then having the police get all mad at us and having those pay, that anger pay unfortunate dividends going forward. So up at the top, there is a new world order system. There's a system of globalization. Alex Jones talked about it briefly. You know, he said, why is the G20 so important? Well, that's because the G20 is the representatives of the global government. That's one government for the whole freaking planet, which is bureaucratically ineffective and unrepresentative and unfair and unjustifiable. But they have been working on it for, 100 years, 200 since Babylon, 5,000, So we're at the stage where they're introducing it to us. And this is world government. Like, what this will be normal. What you saw in Toronto over the last week or 2 weeks, that'll be normal. And then when some big political summit comes to town, we'll all be asked to stay indoors or we'll all be invited by the government to come yell at cops. And then the cops will be invited to beat the crap out of us because that's what's been happening. That's how they do. These are population control exercises, as I said on yesterday's show. More stuff going on. Cybersecurity measures will mandate government ID tokens to use the internet. Been talked about for a few years, folks. They are coming out to the internet. They're coming about it in a number of stealthy ways, but basically a MySpace or Facebook style login each time you want to use it. So you'll be, joe.smith743, at governmentaccount.com or whatever. You'll sign in that way. And if they don't like you, that's it. And it's going to be a global sign-in where if you're at an internet cafe or if you're at a university, if you're trying to be anonymous about it, you can't be because they want to know who you are. Just like this ID rule based on a new law passed recently by the Ontario legislature after an extraordinary request from Bill Blair, which I discussed yesterday. One of these anarchists was wearing a damn Nike pants. And anarchists supposedly hate Nike and big corporations. And this guy was caught wearing Nike pants. Again, you can see all these things here. So go to Infowars.com for a good overview of all these things. Go to naturalnews.com for good health news. Trendsresearch.com for great wealth news. Locally, press FORTruth.ca. Very active on these issues here before the G20. TorontoTruthSeekers.com as well. Almost 400 people. I'm not exactly sure. I'm kind of affiliated with them, and I still post my music there and so on. But I'm just shocked. I'm shocked. 4 conspiracy radio shows in this goddamn city, mine and 3 others, book and DVD store, tons of awareness, people showing up at the No Pro Rog and other protests, and we can't get something done on this outside of when the government invites us to yell at cops? Better check your head out there, folks. We all better check our head, and we all better help each other check our heads. So locally, pressfortruth.ca, TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Toronto Street News, great homeless paper out on the streets, or paper sold by the homeless, rather, excuse me. And Conspiracy Culture, great book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles. Hope you appreciated the 2 truncated shows this week. Tomorrow and through the week, and I think for the rest of my time here, I'm just going to have open phones because I run into things later that people were taught to say because they heard it repeated so many times that it became friggin' gospel. And we need to beat some of that because I can whenever I bump into it. But if I don't, it just floats around there and corrodes our brains like rusting out a car. And so let's help us do that for each other, folks. I know personally that when I was expressing myself freely while trying not to be, too show-offy to the cops, and singing Renegade and rapping other songs and walking around like, yeah, this is annoying me. I'm not just going to try and politely smile and be cool and act normal at a 10% volume with 740 cops around. But, you know, in different areas of the city, when just expressing myself freely, I know people appreciated it. So let's do that. The only way we can recover from world government, martial law, psychological operations is to talk to each other about them and to talk to each other about what to do to make sure they never happen again. Mr. Colin Smith is up next with your One Flight Up. I'm out of here, folks. Have a great day. Peace out. Good, sir. How are you?
Wow. A lot of crazy stuff going on in this city. A lot of crazy stuff going on in this world. There's always been a lot of crazy stuff going on. But it seems like it's getting crazy. Ah, well. What are you gonna do? Thumb suckers, say that I'm foolish. I only talk about who rules. Do you fools listen to my music or are you too scared to do it? See, I was influenced by the hip-hop you ruined. The same dude you thought was saying nothing. Now makes more sense than you do. I do what I do through and through. I give you the news with a twist, just his save the ghetto point of view. The renegade, you've been afraid. I penetrate pop culture to bring my life closer to the top where they plot to roses. Pour-